Thank you.
Case number 05-1268, Shield and Lloyd Metallurgical Corporation, versus Victor Rigor-Gorman, Mr. Casey Martinez, petitioner, and the case for response.
Good morning, counsel.
May I please the court? Good morning. The issues in this case, perhaps different from the one you just heard, are pretty narrow. The question here before us is whether the U.S. Nuclear Regulatory Commission, in deciding to apply its compatibility criteria to the application of the state of New Jersey to become an agreement state, incorrectly apply those criteria, and as a result, the decision to approve the transfer of authority over certain nuclear materials to New Jersey was arbitrary and capricious. We believe it was. We have described in our briefs the numerous ways in which the NRC application of compatibility criteria was incorrect. I want to focus today on one issue that I think is probably the most important substantively and also procedurally, which is the failure of New Jersey to include in its program for the control of radiation hazards the ALARA principle, ALARA meaning as low as is reasonably achievable. And we believe that that's a significant...
Say that again, please, counsel, I'm sorry.
ALARA means as low as reasonably achievable. And it's a principle of basic fundamental principle of nuclear regulation that says that licensed activities should, in every case, try to strive to make those exposures to the public as low as is reasonably achievable.
And is it your position that the application of the ALARA in this case, or the parallel acts by New Jersey, were going to be too stringent or too lenient?
It's neither. Well, ALARA requires you in every case to look at the remediation action that you're proposing to take and try to make it so that it is as low as is reasonable.
I understand that. Mm-hmm.
There are cases in which ALARA will allow you, as the NRC rules, 10 CFR 20-1404, allows you to apply ALARA when you cannot meet those limits to show that it is as low as you can go. That's one case. The opposite case is when you are looking at two different ways or three of doing the same remediation, you pick the alternative that makes the doses as low as possible, and you do a cost-benefit analysis to reach that.
Could you explain how the shipment to Utah option fits in? Because, I mean, it appears from your numbers that, that is what is effectively the only option left under New Jersey's regulatory system, and B, that it will involve higher exposures, higher in the aggregate exposures to radiation. So what rules does it fit? Does it fit under? I mean, the New Jersey relaxes its standards for purposes of shipment to Utah, or what?
Well, in fact, by not allowing to do the cost-benefit analysis authorized and required by LARA, New Jersey standards are less demanding, restrictive, less protective of the public.
I understand that general point, but what I don't understand is under what set of rules shipment to Utah occurs.
Well, under the rules that require the licensee, in this case our client, to break apart these materials, to prepare them for shipment, to load them into the railroad or whatever makes a conveyance, transporting them across the country, and then burying them in Utah. And
burned in Utah?
They are going to be buried in Utah the same way that
they have
been
buried in Utah.
Yes, they will be. So under the same conditions that they will bury in New Jersey, they just move away to a different place. And our analysis shows
So New Jersey and the NRC are perfectly happy that these materials move 2,000 miles across the country and are buried, as opposed to just having them buried.
Well, I don't know. I cannot speak for whether the NRC is happy or not. New Jersey certainly is very
well,
happy.
Well, their rule, they put it more
New Jersey is very happy.
The rules allow that result.
Yes. Well, the NRC rules allowed the result that we believe is better for the public, which is to have leave the stuff where it is, cover it significantly, and protect it.
And I understand that. I think I understand that in any event. But no NRC rule and no New Jersey rule blocks picking all this stuff up, having workers exposed to the process, and moving it 2,000 miles for the equivalent event in Utah.
Well, in fact, the NRC rules would not allow that because they will require you, before they approve whatever plan you have for terminating the license, to do a cost-benefit analysis on the LARA and figure out whether that alternative is better for the public. And we have analyzed that.
I think you're mixing things, cost-benefit analysis and better for the public. In some cases are equivalent, in some cases not. But I take it your important argument it's obvious from the firm's point of view that it loses a cost-benefit analysis, but your important argument in terms of challenging the NRC decision is that this decision here is worse for the public because it leads to the application of a rule which leads to more dangerous conduct.
That's entirely correct.
I guess the shipment to Utah is fine under federal legislation because the 15 MRAM standard does not apply, and it's fine under New Jersey law because it gets it out of state. Is that how it works?
Well, I do not know what the NRC would ultimately rule in this particular instance.
Yeah.
I don't believe that in every case shipping it out of the state where it is, it's going to be approved by the NRC. In fact, the license termination rule established the provision for letting the materials in place precisely because there are cases, and we believe this is one, in which leaving the materials in place is better protected of the health and safety of the public.
Okay, yes. But if New Jersey says you must remove the materials from our state, then do you have to go back to the NRC and get permission, a license, to move the material from New Jersey 2,000 miles to Utah?
No, unfortunately, the result of the NRC transfer jurisdiction to New Jersey is that the NRC is out of the picture. New Jersey can order the materials
for an interstate shipment?
Yeah. Well, they will have to comply with the transportation rules, and the state of Utah will have to allow it to come, but yes.
Okay, but the rules, for some reason, present no obstacle to this interstate shipment or to the exposure of workers loading and unloading.
Well, look, the materials that you're going to be transporting or leaving in place are at that point waste. And the rules on handling of waste by the NRC require you again to apply the LARA principle to determine whether they should be allowed to become waste disposed of in place, or whether it should be required or permitted to be moved out.
All right, but my point is this, is if you go, and my geography is going to be bad, but when you go from New Jersey to the next state, then you have to comply with that state's radiation rules. Then you go to the third state, and you comply with that state, and so on until you get to Utah. Isn't that what happens?
Well, I'm actually not an expert on this, but I believe that the federal rules on transportation of radioactive materials across state lines preempt any state rules. So the only things that
the point I thought of Judge Williams' question what are those rules?
Yeah.
Well, there are rules that on the transportation of waste that tell you how you have to pack it, how you have to ship it, how it's a good day, and so on.
And those are whose rules? NRC?
Yes.
All right. So there would still be NRC rules applying to this waste as it's transported interstate, which I took to be the gist of Judge Williams and Judge Rogers' inquiry.
Well, but my point was, perhaps I didn't make it clear, that the NRC may object. For example, if they inspect the containers which is going and they don't meet the packing rules, to being moved because the transportation rules are not met. But the NRC has no grounds or no basis for telling you cannot move it out now because it's in New Jersey hands to make that decision. So the how you do it, the NRC may have some say. But whether you can do it or not, is now it's New Jersey's, and that's what we're complaining about.
Well, or rather, New Jersey can say you must do it because there's no real-world condition under which you can keep it in New Jersey. And then the NRC could say, yes, but you cannot move it out of New Jersey because there's no way in the real world, it can meet our standards for interstate movement.
Well, theoretically, that could be the case, but there are standards. Waste is transported to Utah all the time from everywhere. So the NRC, again, but the point is not, at this point in time, the only thing that the NRC can interject itself into is deciding the method of transportation, how you package the waste, how you protect as you're going through the
And your proposition is those rules would be less protective of the public than burying the waste in New Jersey. I thought that's where the questioning started.
Okay. Our position is that, assuming that you in fact comply with the NRC rules on how you transport it,
yes,
the doses to the public from the process of taking the waste, on doing it, packing it, moving it and burying it, result in greater doses to the public than if you left it in place and you bury it there. I made this clear, the distinction.
One question I have is, I know that in your motion for a stay, you posed this issue, I thought, quite clearly. Is there some place before your motion for a stay where you put this problem squarely before the commission?
Well, yes, because every decommissioning plan that you have to file to obtain approval by the NRC has to do the LARA analysis, and both plans that were before the NRC made that analysis and determined that leaving the material in place was most protective of the health and safety of the public. So they have done that and did it before.
Yeah, no, the commission answers to that, at least in part, that in this proceeding relating to the handover to New Jersey, it is not obliged to go through all the papers relating to every license proceeding before it, and that has at least some merit, does it not?
Well, I would have to say in this particular instance that's not entirely correct because of two reasons. First, because one of the compatibility criteria, which is procedural, is not substantive, criteria 25, says that you have to make sure that the program that is implemented by the state provides, assures that there will be no interruption or disruption of pending license applications. And we told the NRC, if you let New Jersey take over, they're going to terminate what we have been doing for years. So the NRC wasn't noticing our comments that that was the case. They had the obligation to evaluate that.
Yes, but that is true. But correct me if I'm wrong, I do not recall that in your Criterion 25 argument, you specifically adduced the greater harm to the public that would flow from the handover to New Jersey.
Well, I believe that our comments cover both grounds. The NRC was aware of both the potential harm to the public and the fact that they will be disrupting they'll be disrupting the process that was ongoing.
Before the stay application, where was the clearest place where you raised the harm to the public issue?
Well,
before the commission?
Before the state application, the only thing that was pending was the decommissioning plan application that Sheila Lloyd filed with the NRC, and two versions of it, and both of them did that analysis and came with that conclusion. The NRC had that. They cannot claim they were not aware of it.
I'm sorry, say that again.
In two successive applications to the NRC, the one that was filed in 2005 that was rejected, the one that was filed modified in 2006, and in fact, the third one that was presented just at the time before they did the transfer. In all of those, Chapter 7 of the application describes how you evaluate which is the best way to go about it, and concluded based on the analysis, based on the NRC guidance, that leaving the material in place was the best option.
Best option from the point of view of
protection.
Public protection.
Right.
Where is that exactly?
It's on Chapter 7 of the application. The application is, and.
You have a joint appendix reference for us on that?
Yes, I'm looking for my for our reply brief that. You bear with me for a second. Maybe I can address this in my rebuttal
right.
When I find it. Find it.
Okay,
not to take your time.
Okay.
Yeah. Are there further questions for him on direct, or if not, then we'll hear from the respondent, and we'll give you back a couple of minutes for
okay.
rebuttal.
Okay. Thank you very much.
May it please the court, my name is Grace Kim and I represent the Nuclear Regulatory Commission and the United States in this case. I would like to begin by sort of responding to what Judge Williams was asking as to whether, or all you judges were asking whether the Shoulder Lay had ever put this position before the NRC. The answer is no. In their comments on the Agreement State Program, their basic complaint was that the New Jersey's program was too stringent in comparison to the NRC's, and therefore not compatible because it was too stringent. And
just to go back, though, you focus on presentations precisely in the context of this proceeding, and I understand the argument there. But are you contesting the proposition that papers before the NRC, be sure, in a different but related proceeding, invoke the proposition that what would flow from shifting jurisdiction to New Jersey would be greater harm to the public?
We are most certainly contesting that proposition, yes, Your Honor.
And that is because Mr. Trevesa-Diaz is wrong on the dates or wrong on the contents of the different plans.
They have first of all, the plan, this is a programmatic review. This is about agreement state review, not about specifically.
I understand that argument. I prefaced my remark by saying I understood that argument. But officials don't act in a complete legal vacuum.
No, that's true. But the plan that Shield Roy put forward was never actually reviewed by the NRC.
I understand that, but the contention the council made was that one or more plans filed with the NRC in the proceeding pending before it relating to its decommissioning, it made the argument, and before the NRC decision on the transfer to New Jersey, it made the argument that the consequences of not being allowed to proceed with its plan would be greater harm to the public.
Yes, it did. It has alleged that it made that argument.
I know it's alleged that. The question is, are you actually contesting that?
That it actually made that argument? No, we're not contesting. They made that argument, and are there, they claimed that they showed it in their decommissioning plan. No,
you keep throwing in an extra verb. Yeah. The question is
post. Do you concede that they made the argument?
Yes. We concede that they made the argument as part of their decommissioning.
Right.
Okay. Proceed. And they made that before the NRC decision pending before us.
They made it. Bear with me for a second. Their final plan was what they keep pointing to as being, as being the one that proves that on-site release is more protective or benign compared to off-site release, and that was filed a few weeks before the agreement was entered into, yes.
Okay.
However, I just would like to...
We could have got there much quicker.
I'm sorry. I'm sorry about that. I just would like to say that I think they're confusing what the commission's requirements are, and that's part of, I think, maybe the confusion here, because they're portraying the commission's requirements to to allow some sort of comparative analysis between on-site and off-site disposal. And that is, in fact, not what the commission's requirements allow. That is not what they provide for. And that
isn't that the implication of 20 or 10 CFR 20.1403?
No, it actually is not. And that has been the source of confusion between Shield Alloy and the NRC staff, in all honesty. The NRC's regulations at 20.14 subpart E, which contains the license termination rules, actually do not put the Shield Alloy is portraying these regulations as somehow putting the off-site disposal and on-site disposal as on a level playing field. In fact...
Well, no, I don't think it's making that claim. I understood it to be making the claim that there's sort of a presumption for unrestricted disposition, but that presumption can be overcome on a showing of essentially net benefit to the public from pursuing another course.
Well, they are actually, it is a presumption, it's not on level playing field, but it's the actual, what they rely on as, what they term as to be a LARA, as the requirement that allows them to make that showing, is actually not. It's actually a burden placed on the licensee.
Let's focus on 20.1403, because my understanding was that it releases the licensee from 1402 if it can show that there would be a net public or environmental harm from the alternative.
That is actually a mischaracterization. I'm sorry that's a mischaracterization that Shield Alloy puts forward. What it does, it's there's three requirements in order to even be allowed to put forward a restricted release proposal. You first have to meet the burden of showing that off-site release would be, I'll use the term, prohibitively expensive. And you show that through this, and that's sort of an initial threshold.
Just to pause there.
Yes.
Does the NRC take a position on whether $70 million to transport the waste to Utah is prohibitively expensive?
Well, that has never been really determined.
Joint issue on that. I see. Okay.
We haven't, this
sounds like a lot
to
me.
This is a programmatic review on this on New Jersey's. We're vaguely aware of this, but that doesn't really enter into our decision on whether New Jersey's program is compatible and adequate. Yeah. So just to try to clarify how our regulations work, that is just one requirement. That's one requirement that they have to, one out of three requirements that they have to meet. The other two requirements are that they have to show that it meets the 25 millirem dose standard.
Yeah,
plus a LARA.
Alloy isn't troubled by that.
Right. And so there's three requirements they have to meet. If they cannot meet...
What's the third?
Well, the third one is they have to show that it meets 100 millirem or 500 millirem standard in case institutions.
I can't remember. Is she an alloy troubled by that?
Well, they claim that a New Jersey's program lacks.
I understand, but this isn't the question. What would happen under NRC rules?
Oh, okay.
You said my characterization of 1403 was completely wrong because it omitted two other criteria, and it doesn't seem that the two other criteria have any particular relevance in this.
Well, it has relevance to the fact that they're complaining about New Jersey's program. They're complaining that New Jersey's program does not.
I understand, but in looking at the relationship between the NRC program and the New Jersey program, the fact is we have a claim, maybe not presented in the best way, a claim by Shield Alloy that it essentially satisfies the 1403 criteria, right?
Right.
And then we're certainly led to understand, I didn't see anything from you that contradicted it, that the set of criteria, however you characterize them from New Jersey, would stand in the way of that.
What I'm trying to explain is that they're focusing on the LARA criteria and saying that New Jersey's absence of that criteria actually prevents it from pursuing on-site disposal, when in fact it doesn't do anything of the kind. There's actually only two requirements.
You mean because there's something else that prevents it?
Well, the thing that would prevent it possibly would be the more stringent dose limits.
Right.
New Jersey has a 15 limit, and then they're also more stringent on the 100 millirem limit in terms of how they calculate it. So it is not the so-called purported absence of a LARA, which, by the way, they never said. They completely flip-flopped on their position on a LARA. But it's not the absence of a LARA that would actually prevent them from pursuing on-site release. It would be not being able to meet the dose limits.
If they had precisely the same LARA approach that the commission does, what would then be the situation?
Well, actually, the commission's approach actually makes it harder to get on-site release because they have to cross this threshold before they can even present an application to the commission, and that was the way it was intended to operate. But they have sort of turned LARA on its head and made it very difficult and made it into some sort of a comparative analysis when, in fact, the presumption is that in favor of on-site release, no matter what, because the commission has determined that is, in general, more protective.
I don't understand Shield Alloy to be relying on a presumption, but I think that does lead into Criterion 25 and the issue of a reservation of jurisdiction. And the Criterion 25 speaks of interference with or interruption of license activity or the processing of license applications. And the NRC staff answer to that claim seemed to be entirely formalistic. It seemed to be simply, well, there are provisions in New Jersey for picking up a licensing proceeding. Fine, no problem. Right? I mean, was that a responsive answer?
Well, the commission believe that, I mean, the commission's process, there's always going to be license, and that may have been a bit of a brief answer, but
was it responsive is what I'm saying?
The response may have been a little flippant or a little not comprehensive as it could have been, but the commission's
go ahead.
Okay, but the commission, you always have at any given moment you're going to have proceedings in place. You're going to have license proceedings ongoing at the time that the transfer is about to take place or is going to take place. But the commission's longstanding practice and consistent practice is to turn over pending applications unless they've been completed. And there may be a question of timing as well. There may be some cases where the commission's just about to issue a license, and maybe they can work out some accommodation with New Jersey for New Jersey to basically just lift the commission's proceeding. But this is not the case here. This was not the case.
Because Shield Alloy was not, so far as appears, on the verge of approval.
It was not, as much as it tries to claim it was. It was absolutely
not. But it is the case, is it not, that Shield Alloy had devoted a lot of resources to trying to satisfy NRC criteria, and that then the upshot of the transfer is to make all that moot. Is that not the case?
Well, it's not necessarily. I mean, well,
that was their argument, was it not?
That was their argument. But that's
and how did it, how did the NRC respond to that?
Well, the NRC basically just referred back to its normal practice of transferring applications and the fact that New Jersey
In other words, it did not address the particular circumstances invoked by Shield Alloy.
I think that the NRC didn't feel that was necessary because New Jersey clearly had a program for addressing, for continuing to address license termination.
It's going to be a very rare state program that would meet the other criteria and not satisfy criterion 25 as so understood, right?
I'm sorry,
it would be a very unusual state program that could miraculously satisfy all the other criteria and not satisfy criterion 25 as you've characterized it.
Yes, that's
so you render criterion 25 virtually meaningless. No?
Well,
in context,
In our explanation or in the actual.
No, your justification of the staff response is a justification under which criterion 25 loses pretty much all significance.
I'm not sure I would go that far, but
okay. Let me take you to another thing. That is the response on the question of reserving jurisdiction.
Yeah, just one more point on that. Is it the commission's response that it couldn't have reserved jurisdiction over this?
The commission's response is that if it found that Congress did not intend for both the NRC and the state to regulate the same category of material in a particular state. And that was their,
that's responding to Judge Santelli's
question. Right, and so that is what would result here, and that would be inconsistent.
Well, if... Because the Oklahoma example indicates perfectly clearly that the NRC can and knows it can identify a category of materials and accept them from a transfer.
But the difference is that the Oklahoma procedures that the commission adopted for going forward were the result of the state. It was intended to address a state's request to withhold. And here, the state did not request that. And
was the commission ruling that it could not make the reservation that Shield Alloy sought or that it chose not to make that reservation?
It was ruling that in this particular case, it was not appropriate for them to make that ruling.
Was it ruling that they could not or that they chose not to? This is not a difficult, maybe there may be difficult concepts behind this.
Oh, that it could not.
But answering that question is not difficult.
So the answer is that they could not because the state.
So that even if they had the discretion, if we've decided they had the discretion to do so, but they did not on an improper understanding of the law, would we not have to send it back for them to reconsider it under a correct understanding
of the law?
Well,
I think I need to explain something, and that is that in this particular case, the state did not actually request
that was not part of the NRC response.
Right.
Right? That had no part of it
at
all.
NRC didn't rely on that.
Does it have a role in the NRC staff analysis of how these things should be handled in the wake of the Oklahoma situation, right? It doesn't say this, and this is only to occur at the request of the transferee state.
Well, the Oklahoma was the Oklahoma example. Really, I mean, the Oklahoma procedures are really intended to address where a state does not want to take over jurisdiction, and
that
the commission
was the occasion. That was the occasion. But at least I don't recall seeing anything
the way
in the Oklahoma analysis limiting it.
Well, the way we read 274 is that if a state, we have to take their request, agreement state request, as it comes. So if because the whole purpose of 274 was to give the states a greater role.
So the commission has to either completely or not at all allow the state's request?
If the state does not request to exclude a particular licensee, a particular category of material, a particular licensee, the commission cannot then say, oh, we want to retain jurisdiction over Shield Alloy. They cannot do that. If they find that the program is compatible and adequate.
So it is the commission's position, and was the commission's position below, that it did not have the authority to make that exclusion from the turnover.
If the state requested that
the commission did not have the legal authority to exempt that segment from the turnover.
As long as they found the state program compatible and adequate.
Now, we're assuming all of that, because that's not what I'm asking you, but I think you know that's not what I'm asking you.
Yes, that it would be inconsistent with congressional intent. Yes.
You're saying they could not.
They could not. Unilaterally, they could not
so
unilaterally.
If we think they could have, then would we not have to send this back for a reconsideration under a proper understanding of the law?
For a proper understanding of the law?
Counsel, if we decide that the commission made its ruling based on a misunderstanding of the law, would we not have to send it back for the commission to reconsider under a proper understanding of the law?
If you were to decide that we were wrong.
Yes.
But
Or even that you had not, assuming it's a zone where there's Chevron deference, that you had not nowhere exercised that deference. I'm sorry, exercise the authority to which we would then defer.
Yeah.
First of all, the record also makes clear that the commission has actually gave this more thought. The NRC gave this more thought, but decided not to put it in its comment response for whatever reason. So they had a more elaborate sort of an analysis based on the assumption that the Oklahoma rationale, which wouldn't apply here because the state did not actually request
you're invoking before us an undisclosed staff analysis.
No, it's in the record. It's in the record, Your Honor.
Oh, I see. Okay.
Yes, it's in the record.
But it was not adopted by the NRC.
Well, it wasn't part of the comment response that they put in the Federal Register, but it is actually in the record. I can point you to the page site if you would like. It is in the record, and it's a more full rationale, but it's based again on the Oklahoma standards because Shield Alloy brought it up. But again, those standards really are only really applicable if a state decides that they want to request the commission retain jurisdiction.
Because
our position is that under 274, it is the state that really can choose what it would like the commission to take over, and it's not up to the commission unilaterally to tell the state, oh, we don't want you to take over this site.
You're saying it's not up to the commission unilaterally, and what we're trying to explore is why isn't it?
Why is it not the commission?
Why can't the commission grant in part an application or exempt from an application, from its grant to an application, the ongoing? Because you're not supposed to disrupt ongoing matters. So.
Well, it's because it. Well, if in, with all the assumptions that the state asked for it, if they can find that it would not result in concurrent jurisdiction, I'll use that term. Mm-hmm. Then they could do that.
I hear you saying there's nothing in the statute that prevents doing it at the request
of
the licensee.
Not outright, other than in this particular case, it would be inconsistent with congressional intent to have, if in fact we allowed it.
But that seems to bring us back to the point that the commission made a choice rather than that the commission had no choice. Counsel, this does make a difference. We've got Chevron problems. If the commission incorrectly believed that there was no ambiguity and therefore we would not be deferring to the commission's construction.
Well, the missing step here.
We have Chenery problems. If you're supplying a different rationale than the commission used.
If
post hoc rationale.
The the missing sort of point here is, I mean, the assumption here is that the commission would have jurisdiction to entertain that if the state made that request, which it did not hear.
Can you tell me what is, in the language of the statute that imposes that limit?
The language is that if the commission finds a program adequate and compatible, it must enter into the agreement. The language is written in a shall, I believe is the word, shall enter into the agreement if the commission finds it's adequate and compatible. Now, I grant you that if there is something about the Schuldeloy site that would prevent New Jersey's program from being adequate and compatible, then that standard would not be met. And this is based on what agreement the state itself puts forward, their proposal to the commission.
I know, but what I don't understand is New Jersey says we want to take over this jurisdiction, and the commission hypothetically could say, fine, but as to the Schuldeloy, we've been working with them for the last 10 years, we're going to keep this one. And New Jersey could say, then we don't want the program, or fine, we'll take it without Schuldeloy.
Well, New Jersey, I suppose that, you know, it would, if, but the commission
couldn't. In other
words,
can't there be some negotiations?
There could be. Yes, there could be negotiations, and that does actually happen in cases. As my understanding is, you know, if a license proceeding is really far along, but that's sort of a negotiated process as opposed to the commission unilaterally over, let's say, New Jersey's objections, withholding jurisdiction.
We never got to that. Yeah. NRC never got to that point, right?
In its comment response, it didn't go that far, because I think it was sort of taking Schuldeloy's comment not something that required a lot of response, because the state here did not make that proposal, and they were just pointing out simply that this is what the congressional intent was.
Yeah, I'm looking at the statute. Now, I would like to know what the statutory language is. This time, Judge Williams asked for this.
Yes.
And I would like to know the statutory language that you say makes it obligatory that the commission does not have the authority to do what the licensee asked. This would be 2021B, would it not?
Yes.
That's the agreement with the state statute.
That's what becomes 2021.
You're using the enactment of the act citation. What is in a petitioner's brief is the code, and you don't have anything in your brief by way of an addendum. So let's try to stick with USCA.
Yes, Your Honor.
The swapping back and forth between the act sites and the code sites is something we have to deal with way too often.
Yes. Okay. The exact citation would be 42 USC 2014.
2014. Does that appear in anyone's brief somewhere where I could find it quickly?
Oh, 2021. I'm sorry, Mike.
2021. That's what I started with.
Yes.
That's what I started asking you a while ago.
I'm sorry. Yes. Page 6 of our brief recites to 42 USC 2021D.
Okay, I have it set for on page 17 of the statutory addendum, which was helpfully filed by the petitioner. D, the commission shall enter into an agreement with any state if... Okay, now how does that relate to the Oklahoma conditions that we talked about a moment ago?
Well, if in the Oklahoma situation, the state requested the commission withhold jurisdiction over several
sites. In fact, how does this dictate anything about what the nature of the agreement would be? I mean, you've got proceeding before that, all the other sections that refer to, I was looking at B, commission is authorized to enter into agreements with the governor with respect to any one or more byproducts, source materials, etc. It seems to be assumed that there are going to be some sort of proceedings getting to this decision to have an agreement such that they might not necessarily reflect the exact same terms as the original application of the governor. It's not the commission's position that once the governor files a conforming application, the commission has to enter it, is it? Or is it their agreement?
Well, I think the implication here is that the governor puts forth a what it wants the commission to relinquish authority over. And since the purpose of the whole 274 was to increase the state's role in the regulation of materials within their state, it is the state itself that decides how it wants to enlarge its role over those materials. And so I think that is where we come to the statute could fairly be read to say that if the state does not ask to, if the state does not ask for the commission to retain control over materials that the state wants to obtain control over, and the commission finds it adequate and compatible, then the commission shall enter into the agreement.
What
unless
are
there's
the
some other basis
that are referred to in E1 and 2? Following the parts you're looking at, you have subsections E, you have subsection E, which is under it, paragraphs 1 and 2.
Yes.
Each of which refer to exemptions, and then subsection F is headed exemptions. The commission is authorized and directed by regulation order to grant such exemptions from the licensing arrangements contained in the other chances of applicable to licensees and the commission finds necessary or appropriate to carry out any agreement. Does that have anything to do with what we're talking about here, or is that a whole
I think deal? Maybe exemptions, we hadn't really focused on it, but I think exemptions could be read to mean licensing exemptions, perhaps.
Okay.
That would be my reading of it.
Okay.
How did, just, you focused on the shall in 2021D, but 2021B says except, that is an exception. The commission is authorized to enter into agreements. Now that's for the discontinuance of the regulatory authority of the commission. So that, I mean, that seems a rather broad grant of power. I mean, what I'm asking is, as between the is authorized and the shall, are we to understand that this transaction with New Jersey is governed entirely by the shall? I'm not assuming the shall gets you all the way you want to go, but even if it did, standing alone, how does it relate to the is authorized?
I think the is authorized is a sort of broad grant of authority, and the subsection D is a more sort of particular implementation of how that authority works and the circumstances under which the commission can exercise that grant of authority that Congress gave it to relinquish authority under to the states.
Right.
So I don't read them as being contradictory.
No, I understand.
We have long since run over your time.
I realize that.
And my colleagues have further questions. If not, then we'll...
Well, I do have a question.
Okay. We're going to run it over some more, too.
This is just sort of a background issue. It appears from the EPA website that if you moved from sea level to the altitude of Denver, Colorado, you would expose yourself to an additional annual 27 MRAMs. And if Denver happened to be in the Colorado Plateau, you'd expose yourself to an additional 67 MRAMs. So that, I guess it's, do you understand those figures to be accurate?
I'm not really familiar with those figures, Your Honor. I'm sorry.
No, so I
do know the general matter that, you know, that the higher you go that in Colorado, that there's a lot of radiation.
You understand this question was asked by a judge who, with some frequency, leaves this approximate sea level.
Right,
retreat to Colorado for a time.
And exposed myself to the terrible risks of life in Colorado for 17 years.
I hoped I could tell you that that's not true, but I don't know. Thank you very much for your time.
Thank you, counsel. I will give you back a couple of minutes for rebuttal, counsel.
I have a lot of things to cover, but I'll try to be brief. First, the discussion with me and with NRC Council about ALARA shows how important this issue is. And it is quite frankly shocking that the NRC did not address ALARA, even though Sheila Lloyd raised it in his comments. They also did not address the absence of a license for restricted use that New Jersey doesn't apply. And it didn't, as you just heard the colloquium, they didn't address either the possibility to retain jurisdiction, even though the option was pointed out to them by their own staff during the review comments. And they didn't use that to respond to Sheila Lloyd. They didn't use that to justify entering into the agreement. All they say is they couldn't do it. And in fact, it's pretty clear that they could.
They have mixed jurisdiction, which wasn't the... We can't have dual jurisdiction, which wasn't exactly the proposal anyway.
Right.
Well, my point on that is that there will never be dual jurisdiction in this particular instance because there's only one source site in New Jersey, and it's either the NRC or it's in New Jersey.
If there were a half a dozen and they were all at the same status you are now, the question would be the same. The fact that there's only one is not... really relevant, is it?
Well, but the issue of whether they can be concurrent jurisdiction, it's only true.
That's the issue.
Yes.
And it would be applicable even if there were seven other people in the same business you are at about the same stage you are.
Well, in that case, that would be a more tenable argument. Yes, you have seven. You have to figure out which you keep and
no,
you
but
can
in
keep
either no. Then, a categorical
no,
exclusion works
any.
Fine.
Yes.
Yeah.
Well, the other points that I need to address because they are incorrect. First, it is not true that the regulations and the guidance don't allow you to compare unrestricted and restricted use. In fact, the NRC has a very extensive set of guidance appendix. It is New Reg 757, Appendix N, tells you how to go about it. Second, you were asking where did we point out, in fact, before the decision that this restricted use was better from the viewpoint to those to the public. Footnote 10 on our reply brief tells you where it is that we pointed that out in our DP, the two DP, and this goes back to 2005. It wasn't 2 weeks before. Sure.
Footnote 10
tells you that it is not just in a motion for stay. We have been saying that all along.
Right. Okay.
Okay.
Thank you, counsel, unless my colleagues have further questions, we have again exhausted everybody's time and probably their patience. So.
Thank you for your attention.
Thank you, counsel. Give us a recess.